passage this morning comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 17 through 30. Chapter 2, verses 17 through 30 of Daniel. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, his companions. And he told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision in the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He moves kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter." And therefore Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and he said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation." And then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. And he said thus to him, "I have found among the exiles of Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation." And the king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation?" And Daniel answered the king and said, "No wise man, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in your bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all living, but in order that the interpretation may be known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind." It's the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Mysteries. Mysteries, mysteries. Who can reveal mysteries? Well, according to Daniel, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. According to the scriptures, that is also very true as well. The dictionary definition of the word mystery, this is a modern definition, is something that is difficult or impossible to understand and explain. Within this definition, you hear and we see that there are at least two types of mysteries in life. Those that are difficult to understand and explain, such as the laws of nature, which with some effort on our part we are capable of understanding and explaining to a great, great extent. We're capable of doing great things and understanding even more about the creation. There are these kinds of mysteries that are difficult to understand and explain, but with some effort they can be understood and explained. And there's a second sort of mystery. There's mysteries that are impossible for us to understand and and explain. Those that are such as the origin of life. Where did it begin? The difference between right and wrong, good and bad. Who can determine these things? Moreover, the simple purpose of life. Why are we here? What are we doing? Where are we going? Mysteries of this second sort, you understand, are impossible for humanity to understand and explain in and of themselves. And it's not for a lack of effort, believe me. Mysteries of this sort have haunted and tormented humanity in every generation since the very beginning of the world. And regardless of what we have been able to understand and explain in and of ourselves by observation, the observation of creation, you understand, of nature, every generation has felt the weight of knowing that without answers, also to those mysteries which are impossible for us to understand and explain. Life is unlivable, unbearable. Every generation has known this, as evidenced by the fact that there is no race of people that has ever lived that were not religious, who did not claim by faith to have answers to these second sort of mysteries. Every individual, every tribe, every nation. None have ever lived without some sort of explanation by faith for answers to these sort of mysteries. And to be sure, not all faiths are equal. But life without some sort of answer to these mysteries is unlivable. And so, we guess. We theorize. We must have something to live. One of the earliest records that we have of an ancient philosopher to have wrestled with finding a more satisfactory answer to life's mysteries, these deeper mysteries, even just the difficult mysteries, to find a more satisfactory answer dates back to 624 BC to a Greek man who lived in the city of Miletus on the western coast of Asia Minor, who went by the name of Thales. And what makes Thales of a particular interest to our passage this morning is that his teaching marks a time in history of the ancient Greeks, their culture, when they began to shift from mythology, the old Olympian mythical religion, to the observation of nature in order to find more satisfactory answers to the mysteries of life. And it appears to have kind of started there with Thales. It's the earliest record that we have of this activity, of this transition, this shift taking place. And to put it in the context of the events recorded in Daniel, Thales lived and began to teach these things a mere 19 years before the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. The king of Babylon. And perhaps even more intriguing is that Thales shared not only a naturalistic approach
to understanding and explaining the mysteries of life with the wise men of Babylon, but also a theory that of nature, that all of nature, you understand, the gods included, originated from water. The natural substance of water. Now that's remarkable to see these connections between the Greeks and the Babylonians. Thanks.
Sorry about that. There really shouldn't be an indicator on here that tells you battery level or something. We'll check into that. But just to point out again the connection to our passage, the relevance that Thales has to Nebuchadnezzar and the wise men of Babylon. They both believed this in this same thing. The Greeks, Thales was just getting started in teaching these things. It appears that the Babylonians were ahead of him. They believed these things also. They even believed that the substance of all of existence came from water. A naturalistic religion that they had turned to the observance of nature in order to gain a better, a more satisfactory understanding and explanation of the mysteries of life. And they shared that. And it's hard to say which wise men this naturalistic religion originated with, but it's clear that the observance of nature provided a far better, more satisfactory answer to many of life's mysteries than did the myths. And a shift from dependence upon myth to the observance of nature in order to better understand and explain the mysteries of life quickly led to technological advancements and tactical superiority and the rise of great empires. And it kind of coincides with this shift to the observance of nature, away from myth to the observance of nature. It seems to coincide with that. For there weren't very many great empires at the time. You had the Assyrian Empire, the Egyptian Empire, and then the Babylonians. And you see this kind of rise and change in the nations as this shift takes place and continues to take place. After the Babylonians, you come to the Medo-Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. And from the perspective of natural law, the observance of nature to understand and explain mysteries of life, it's easy to understand and explain why these kingdoms became great. Great, powerful kingdoms that ruled vast territories of the world. The conundrum, the unexplainable part, is why they fell. Why they no longer exist today. From a perspective of natural law, they had everything. And they were continually rising in power. Why did they fall? Why did they no longer exist? We could ask the same today. How do you understand and explain why even today the most technologically advanced, the most tactically superior nation to have ever existed on the face of the planet? Seems to be destined to run the same course.
How do you understand that? How do you make sense of that? How do you explain that? You see, this sort of mystery is of the second sort of mysteries in our definition. Those that are impossible to understand and explain in and of ourselves. Those that are impossible to understand and explain, whether by myth or by the observance of nature. We can't do it in and of ourselves. And it's a mystery not far removed from the mystery which God made Nebuchadnezzar to know in his dream. The king of Babylon in 603 BC, during a second year, just the second year of his reign, he reigned 43 years. In the second year of his reign, God made this known to him, this mystery, for which the king's spirit was troubled and his sleep left him, from which he feared to tell the wise men lest they take advantage of him, for which he was prepared to slaughter them all, because they could not understand and could not explain the mystery. If they could not make known to him and explain to him the mystery of his dream. You know, there are a few things. I've never been a king, but I've owned a house, I've owned things, a land or something. And there are a few things, on a very small scale, you understand. It wasn't the whole ancient Near Eastern world that I ruled. Just a small place. But I think I understand something about the fear of losing what is mine, what I believe is mine. I think I understand something about that. That there's probably few things in the life of a king so frightening, so troubling to his heart, than the revelation that his rule is not absolute and that his kingdom is temporary. In hindsight, we know that this was precisely the mystery which God had given to Nebuchadnezzar that night in his bed during the second year of his reign, in which he made known to the king what will be in later days. What will be after this? What will be, Daniel repeats again and again and again in our passage, that his rule is not absolute, and that his kingdom is temporary. It will not pass to his son. It will not continue. It will fall and cease to exist. As magnificent as it was, it's not going to last. And what Nebuchadnezzar saw was not a mere dream. This was not a prediction of a possibility, a fear of a possibility. It was prophecy. Prophecy, a revelation from God, not of what might be, but of what would be in later days. And God did so in such a way that the king would know for certain. He would have absolute assurance that this would come to pass. He did so. God revealed it in such a way that he would know without doubt that there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And unlike the gods of nature, whom he and his wise men worshipped, this God was able and willing to personally intervene in his life, both to communicate to him directly through a prophetic dream, and then indirectly through his servant David, Daniel. I'm going to get those few two mixed up. Through his servant Daniel, directly communicating to the king, and then communicating again with him indirectly through Daniel. In such a way that not only the king, you understand, but even Daniel himself and everyone who heard of this, Jews and Gentiles alike, everyone who heard of it would know for certain that there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, who is in control of mysteries, who created the heavens and the earth and all the discoverable mysteries we find, who gives wisdom to the wise and understanding to those with knowledge. Everyone would know that no wise men, enchanters or magicians or astrologers can reveal these sort of mysteries. Everyone would know. Only the God who is in heaven. Only he can do that. The God to whom belongs wisdom and might. A God who changes times and seasons. A God who removes kings and sets up kings, who gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to those who have understanding, who reveals deep hidden things, who knows what is in the darkness, and with whom in himself the light dwells. A God to whom all thanks and praise belongs, whose name is to be blessed forever and ever. As we read from the prophet Isaiah this morning in our call to worship, who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved. All the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. I myself have sworn and my mouth has gone out in righteousness, a word from my mouth that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Nebuchadnezzar had been terrified by a revelation revealing that his reign was not absolute and that his kingdom was only temporary. He had been infuriated that the wisest of his men, his most trusted counselors, knew absolutely nothing about it. Nor could they tell him anything about it. And he was by now hopelessly skeptical. He was terrified. He was infuriated. He was despairing. Hopelessly skeptical as a young exile from Jerusalem was ushered before him. And he asks, "Are you able to tell me, to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? You've only been here 3 years. You're just a punk kid. And you're from Jerusalem. I've got your God's ornaments in my treasure house, at the feet of my God. Are you going to walk in here and tell me my dream and its interpretation when all of my counselors cannot?" No wise man, enchanters and magicians or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked, said Daniel. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he, O king, has made known to you what will be in later days. I guarantee you, as the words rolled off of Daniel's lips, Nebuchadnezzar already knew that he knew. He already knew it. Daniel knew his dream and its interpretation, and that the God of whom Daniel spoke was truly the God of gods and the Lord of kings. He already knew it. At that moment, he was simply exposed. Everyone was exposed. The king, his wise men, not even Daniel would claim authority or power of himself to be able to tell the king these things. The God of whom Daniel spoke was truly the God of gods and the Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries, speaking, as it were, through Daniel right before his face. The Spirit of the Lord, As a servant of God, as a disciple of Christ, as a Christian, Daniel speaks. As one being conformed more and more into the image of Christ throughout his life and the experiences that God has brought him through, Daniel speaks. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. You understand? He is a servant of God made in the image of Christ. The Spirit of God rested upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, such that his delight was the fear of the Lord. Not vengeance, not sedition, not compromise. So as we read in Psalm 26 this last Wednesday, of the integrity of David, how he walked in his integrity, in his sincerity before God, with God's steadfast love ever before his eyes. He walked in the trust of God, in integrity, you know, sincerity in service to God. He didn't have to commit the violence and the sinfulness behavior of those who fought him as enemies, those who despised the Lord, who didn't fear the Lord. He walked in his integrity. As Daniel does here, he walks in the Spirit of God, such that his delight was not in vengeance or sedition, but in the fear of the Lord. He did not judge with his eyes. Nor decide disputes with his ears. But with righteousness and equity. As one in conformity to the image of Christ. He did not judge with his eyes. You see, there are mysteries in this life that we can't observe with our eyes, that we can't understand, that we can't explain with our eyes, with our senses, and we can't make them up either. But there is a God in heaven who reveals them. Where we came from, why the world is the way it is, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil, and where we're going. And he gives us his Spirit to believe these things and to speak these things, to be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. We should know these things. This happened back in 600 BC. We should know these things. The whole world should know these things. We should remember that there is a God in heaven, and he alone reveals mysteries. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your works throughout history, that they have been recorded, that they have been preserved, and that we have them even now. We've always had access to them. We have greater access to them even now than we have ever had in our lives, in the life and in the history of humanity. Father, we praise you as we look back on these things, as we see the things that you have revealed, not only relevant for the time of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel and those who existed then, but Lord, things then that you revealed of times yet to come to pass, even in these last days. You have declared them of old. You have made them known. You have given us your word in the scriptures. As Peter says, no prophecy has ever come from man or by the will of man, but men who are carried along by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from you. They spoke mysteries. Mysteries, some that have come to pass, mysteries that have yet to come to pass, all given by you, the revealer of mysteries, of things that we cannot understand and explain about life. And Father, we praise you for this. We thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit that enables us to hear your word, who causes us to be born again, to become the children of God, to hear the words of Christ, and to follow him. You have given us life by revealing to us the mysteries of life. And we praise you this morning. May we always praise you and give you thanks, for glory and blessing belong to you and to you alone. In Christ's name, amen.